the status of Karen, Shane, and Rega. So, I think the last thing that we were trying to do, we were discussing Chitta Rambam, and I just want to add a few a few quick comments to that. Okay, so what we've seen so far. What we've seen so far is that it's a very, very strange phenomenon, to be honest, where the Gemara identifies initially one of the Avos Hazikin in a certain way, and different parts of the Masechta seems to ignore that. And it's just a very strange thing. We don't have it. We don't have something comparable to that very often. So it pushes us, you know, to try to understand what happened, you know, to that initial strong formulation. And just to make it clear, no matter what you're going to end up saying, because you need to say something based on some of the cases, it's just, you know, again, a very, just to highlight what I just said, that the factor of Kavanos al-Hazik in Karen, as it's presented in the beginning of the Masechta, on base on base, gimel on base, you know, and Nafhei, and so on and so forth, is presented in a parallel way to the role of Hana in Shane and Matsui in Regel, or Tchilas Asiyaso, you know, Bebor, and so on. In other words, when the Gemara is trying to figure out, let's say, Avos and Toldos, and whether told the same Kiyotze Behem or not, and it identifies in each one of the, you know, Avos its prime characteristic. So, and then says, well, the Toldos seem to be identical, right? So, it does that in Karen with Kavanos al-Hazik. So that's just, that's noteworthy, no matter what you are going to end up saying about it. That just makes this, you know, very, very strange. For example, just to, you know, make it clear, whatever you want to say about the Rambam, let's say, in the end, does the Rambam believe in Kavanos al-Hazik or not? I mentioned that the Better Mrs. Zalman Meltzer, is Evan Ha'azel, suggests that, you know, the Rambam never mentions it, and that he dropped it, and that he thought that it was just a Hava Bina, or it was what would have been if had there not been, you know, Shane Varego. And Natan brought to my attention that he had the text in his head a little, I guess, longer than I had it in mine, and that is that he actually does say that, or make it sound like, you know, sure, at least, is generic. Which I don't think you have to say. You don't have to say that everything is generic, even if Shor is generic, for the reasons that we discussed very extensively. We tried to show, again, I think there's a certain fluidity in Shor, especially according to the Rambam, that we've, I'm not going to get back to that, but that's my theory. And that's why Aleph, Beis, and Gimel are all over the place, and there's a lot of, you know, overlapping, you know, between them, and it all starts from the initial presentation of the Rambam. But either way, that's his view, and that Kavanah l'Hazik in Karen is all what might have been in that alternative universe, you know, had there not been Shane Varegel, had we drawn the line only at Karen. But once we don't, so then Kavanah l'Hazik is gone, you know, for good. Now again, I have problems with that, but it's just trying to make the point, just in light of what I'm saying right now, which is we don't find that, you know, Hana in Shane, or that Matsui, you know, or the level of Matsui in Regel are gone, you know, once we know, you know, that there's Karen. Because we don't say they are, you know, what might have been the defining characteristic, you know, had we limited only to Shane or only to Regel. We don't say, oh, once we know Regel, Hana and Shane is no longer a factor, or once we know Shane, you know, Matsui or Darko Lahazik Derech Hilucho, right, is no longer the definition of Regel. So even within the world of Shane, you know, even if you want to say that what he says, and I totally understand where he comes from, because again, there's a phenomenon in the Rambam, it's not mentioned, and in the Gemaras, you know, in some of the cases of the Gemara, where did it go to? But in the end of the day, you know, since the, you know, when it's initially formulated in parallel fashion, you know, to these other factors, and they don't go away, you know, once we're dealing with the full picture, so it's still a phenomenon, right? And again, if you take the Rav's view, which I also mentioned, which is that Kavanos al-Hazik is the dominant, you know, feature, you know, in Karen, more so, let's say, than in the Shuna, then I tend to think that that is mostly correct, but I've again, qualified it in a certain way to make room for more of the evidence. But again, it's just fascinating that unlike Hana in Shein and Matsui in Regel, which the Rambam formulates very prominently, respectively, in Perek Gimel and in Perek Beis, and again, even in Perek Aleph, right, that formulation of Kavanas al-Hazik, you know, is just absent in the Rambam. What I'm trying to say is, even if these are two extreme opposite ways of understanding the Rambam, and both of them remain curious, you know, in that we're still treating, you know, this factor, you know, so prominent in the Gemara differently than we're treating the parallels. That's all I'm pointing out. If it's dropped or even if it's there, either way, it's either there but not articulated exactly as it's articulated in the Gemara, or it's dropped, you know, completely. But either way, there's something going on in this whole. Now, what I'm suggesting is kind of going on is that Karen kind of always had, or at least Lahalacha, once we know everything, has like a very different role. Again, it's the first. That's why everybody has this whole discussion about, you know, being included in Shor, or the Karen part, you know, being relevant to Regel, less so to Shein, all the things that we've seen already. I mean, this idea that Karen is kind of the, you know, again, uber case of Mazik in one respect, and, you know, maybe the least specialized in another, especially in the Maskana, explains a little bit why its prime characteristic is either, you know, going to go away, let's say, according to, I'm speaking, you know, I'm justifying the position that the Eben Ha'ezel and others like him take, like, you know, why would it be that Dafka Karen, its defining characteristic would be the only one that once the others exist, you know, goes away, or partially goes away anyway? Or why would it be, if you take the Rav's view and the Rambam, that, you know, that this is going to be so prominent, but that it's not, you know, identified and accentuated, right, in the same way that Shane's Hana and Regel's Matsui is. So my answer is, because maybe it always was supposed to, but if not, it certainly, you know, Lahalacha does play a very different role. It's the kind of framework for the background of, you know, Shor being a Mazik and being an Av Nezek. So even though in the end, you know, Karen, Shor, and Regel are different, we've, again, spent a lot of time trying to show that the relationship between them is very intricate and very complex, you know, to all of them. So I think that that's really what happened here. And I'm comfortable saying what I said before, which is that the the Rambam, you know, by being drawn to the idea of Muad Mitchilaso, in the case of Ari and Dov and Bardalus and so on and so forth, and by not saying the words Yesh Hana LeHazeko, but by saying that they're Beteva, you know, Mazikim, I think that's basically what he's saying. I think that's what happened to Kavanos al-Hazik. Kavanos al-Hazik, you know, unlike Hanal Lehazeko of Shein and Matsui of Regel, right, is perceived as something that just, you know, is so identified with what Karen is, like the generic or base, you know, animal that's a Mazik, you know, that the it's not a factor of Kavanos al-Hazik per se. It's, you know, it's being a Mazik. Now, sometimes what makes it a Mazik is Kavanos al-Hazik, and sometimes that's established in a certain way. I'll get that in just a second as well. And sometimes it's, you know, it's the fact that it's the, you know, Mishuna, you know, that it's not Regel, or something doesn't qualify as Regel, or doesn't qualify as Shein, and therefore they kind of revert back to this generic basic idea of a mazik in a different way. In other words, for Karen to be, you know, a mazik where, you know, it's competing with or there are overlaps, you know, with Shane Varego, so the, you know, the Shane mazik, let's say, needs to be very prominent. And that is accomplished in two different ways. One is Muadu Mitrilasa, when it's Teva, a behema, even if it's a tarbus kind of a behema, you made an effort to domesticate the, you know, to make that tiger into a pet, or the lion, or the bear, or whatever it is, right? But in the end of the day, he's a mazik mitivo, you know, mitzvilaso. Or, you know, through hada'a, which is, as we've explained, is a very formal, you know, process. One could have thought, and we could definitely make this case in some of the Gemaras and some of the Rishonim, this is the big issue, right? That hada'a just, you know, is megala, milsa, that, you know, there's an urche, just like there's an urche for Shane, and there's an urche even more so, or matzui for Regel, right? That there's an urche in terms of, you know, shmira or other things, you know, etc. for this tchiloso tam, but now so fo muad. But what we've tried to explain is that more likely the evidence implies, and I think certainly so for the Rambam, that hada'a is a formal process, you know, that takes an animal that isn't automatically a mazik, and that, you know, that turns it into a shei mazik. And then to undo that is also formal, like, you know, how does he get rehabilitated? What is the steps that, you know, this, you know, violent mazik animal, you know, needs to undertake, you know, his five-step program, I guess, you know, that reforms him and makes him, you know, gentle and domestic again. So the point is that that's all part of the, you know, that's all part of the of the principle of kavanas alahazik, of just being a mazik. And I think that's really what's happening, and that's why it's treated differently, you know, than again. And part of what, you know, the Ibn Azal is saying could still, I think, very much work here. And then it's like, how come the Gemara, you know, does present it the same way? Maybe because, again, had there only been Karen, you know, then Karen wouldn't have been playing the role also as kind of the fallback, you know, for the other shores. It is true that once there are other shores, so I don't think that, therefore, Kavanos al-Hasig disappeared completely, but it came, you know, in a way to, you know, to stand for or to be applied, you know, for what it really what always was, but not as a factor, but as like a bigger category, and that is a shame mazik. Yeah.
And in the cases of when it becomes muad for Karen, isn't it clear that those cases of when it becomes muad are still not going to be the same level?
So let me talk about that also.
Still think it's chayv v'shus so it's obvious.
Well,
so it's,
I mean, it is chayv v'shus
harabim. Right.
So is Muad Mitrila in the Rambam.
Right. But so I'm saying, so that's not sure that even Muad Mitrila also might have an aspect of Mishuna to an extent.
Well, I don't know if that's a din of Mishuna. Maybe that's really a din of a more ultimate Mazik.
According to the Rush,
Chai B'Shus Harab.
Because according to the Rush, the whole reason you're Pad B'Shus Harab is Svara that we wouldn't force you to hold your animals.
Right, so we'll still have to talk about that in an initial way. I think I gave you some Marmakopas, I still have to do that. You know, what do we mean? You know, how narrowly do we understand that rush? Do you have to say it that way? Is that what the Rambam holds that it means? So, again, we'll talk about it. Is it like a Patur Shmira, or, you know, does it have to do more with, again, this is like a Hefzid Mimela, as opposed to, you know, a Shor Hamazik? Like a Shor Hamazik, you know, maybe just can never take him and rush us around him. I thought you were asking me a slightly different question, which I do want to mention, which some couple of guys asked after the shiur, and that is following. If what we're saying is correct, like so, right? So how many Karens are there in the Rambam? Let's say, right? And I think, you know, again, that we could talk in a way about four different Karens in the Rambam. Okay, my own instinct is to say that there are, I think, some differences in the four different Karens, but this is what Shua also was asking me of this year. But I think the Rambam doesn't present them as four different Karens, right? So I think that we have to assume that while there are some differences between them, you know, that the basic idea is the same. And according to what I'm emphasizing, that isn't so hard to say. So what are the four cases of Mazik in the Rambam again? Sorry, but yeah. Four different cases, yeah. So one, of course, is, you know, regular Karen Tam Mishuna, right? Where you have, could say, Kavanos Olahazik, but it's Mishuna. And you're Chayiv Chatzin Nezek. That's one scenario in the Rambam, for sure. Then you have, you know, Shein V'Regel cases, or cases that would have been Shein V'Regel, or would have been candidates for Shein V'Regel, you know, from every point of view, or from some point of view, you know, but because they're, you know, let's say, because of some element, usually Mishuna, maybe Kavanos Olahazik, you know, they're turned into Karen, right? That's the second case. The third case is when you have Hada'ah, that you have a an animal that undergoes a transition from Tam to Muad. That's still a Karen, Legabe, right, Rishus HaRabim, and, you know, possibly other Nafkamina if there are, you know, Nafkamina, let's say for her, maybe for Kofar, right, for things of that sort, this, if Kofar would be, had been limited to Muad. Okay. That's a third case. And then the fourth case is the case of Muad Mitchila, according to the Rambam, again, because according to many Rishonim, as we know, right, there is no Muad Mitchila. Right? Muad Mitchila is Shein V'Regel. Right. So let's say, according to the Rambam, we can identify four different types of Karen. Okay, so the Karen of Karen Tam, the Karen, you know, of Shein V'Regel, you know, that what might have been Shein V'Regel, but that is Karen, as I say, Hada'a, which is, you know, Muad L'Achar Hada'a, and Muad Mitchila. So just to use like the language of the, to use Shua's question, is there like a fallback, you know, Karen, you know, and a Mitchila Karen? Are there two dinim in Karen? The kind of way that we were suggesting, you know, that there might be about Shein or Regel, like a generic one and a more particular one. So that there's a Karen, you know, which is, you know, kind of Shein V'Regel that loses its, you know, that becomes Karen because it isn't Shein V'Regel enough because of its Karen characteristics, Mishuna, Hazik, etc. And then there, maybe there's no Nafkamina, but is that really the case? And then there's like Karen, which is like a classic Karen, you know, Nogeach, Nogef, you know, etc. Right? But similarly, you know, what about like Muad Mitchila? I'll just make the point this way. Muad Mitchila, Ari, Dov, Bardalas, etc., and let's say Hada. So, for example, Rama makes very clear, talked about this, right, in Karen, Mechuba Keber, Karen Talush, that when it comes to, you know, the process of Hada, right, if you get Hada, you know, so you become a Muad, Legabe, what you were warned for. Look at how particular that is, you know, Karen Yamin and Karen Small, you know, we could talk, but the point is it doesn't go by the Gavra Behemo, if you will, if you want to know what I mean by that, right? But it goes by the Derech HaHezek, right? But it's also clear, and that's part of, I think, what's so important in the Rambam, that the Rambam disagrees, you know, with Tosas, as we noted, and thinks that when it comes to Muad Betchila, the Ari, the Dov, the Bardalas, etc., you know, that they are Muad Mitchila because of the expectation, you know, that they are violent animals and that they're going to attack. But that status extends even to, you know, a more Mishuna kind of attack. In other words, once he's a bear or he's a lion or he's a, you know, a tiger or whatever it is, you know, once he has that status, then, you know, even if he attacks in a different way, you know, he's chayiv nezek shalem, as Muad Mitchila. Right? That's the Graz Ha'ara, that the Rambam disagrees with that. I think if that's not just a prat, but that's a crucial part of this Hagdara of Kavanos al-Hazik being a Mazik end. So in the end of the day, that's an interesting point, that the process of Hada'ah, you know, retains, you know, or is limited, you know, to a Maisa Hezek, you know, that is tied, you know, to that new proclivity, new established proclivity, right? Whereas that's not true in Mu'ad Mitchila. So does that mean that there are, you know, there's more than one Karen? Or take, as I say, just Tam and Mu'ad itself, or the Shein V'Rega one. So I don't know the answer 100%. I do know that the Rambam doesn't identify, you know, he basically calls all these things Karen. So what I would think is that if Karen is kind of the, you know, the first and the most basic and the framework, you know, of Mazik and Shor, so the fact that you have these, you know, differences, these nuances that express themselves, you know, Eina Dome, like a Tam, you know, purely within the world of Karen, to, you know, to a Tam, you know, that's a Shein V'Regel gone bad, or you know, missing an element, and Eina Dome, you know, Mu'ad Mitchiloso, you know, being more expansive, in other words, to a Mu'ad, you know, that is generated by the process of you know, graduating, you know, from Tam to Mu'ad. My instinct is that, you know, again, if all of this is more, you know, this framework, this generic, this whatever, then that's sure, like the Stam sure, that, you know, despite the differences are understandable. Right, again, we'll take the last one just to make it clear. In other words, the... you know, somebody that's a mu'ad, something that's a mu'ad mitchilaso, you know, despite being even domesticated because of the, you know, its nature, you know, to be a vicious, attacking, dangerous, you know, animal, you know, so the idea that there's like a gavra behema, you know, shore status, you know, that attaches itself irrespective of the way that it's mazik, because that affects the shmira that it requires, or the tziruf to that Maisa Hezek, or the nature that Maisa Hezek, like, you don't usually say, oh, you know, it might be surprising, it might, you know, deserve, you know, a couple of minutes on the nightly news to say, oh, like, you know, the bear attacked like a lion, that is so peculiar. Okay, but you wouldn't usually say, like, you know, like, you weren't expecting that, you know, he's like gentle when it comes to, you know, lion attack tactics, because he's just a, you know, b'tivo, you know, b'mahuto, you know, he's a wild animal. Whereas, you know, an animal that's a tam had graduated to being a mu'ad, so the default is that he's a domestic animal. You know, so we could have gone that far. There are those who, clearly, some machlokas have shown him, like how far, both from a, you know, animal psychologist, you know, behaviorist, you know, perspective that we've already talked about, you know, could be all just on that level, but more on the formalistic level, like what happens, you know, when you take this, you know, nice, gentle, you know, no choshed b'ksherim, you know, animal, you know, when you turn him into this mazik, right, in theory we could have said, well, he's a mazik l'kol ha'dvarim, right? Or we could keep the tightest possible, you know, rein on it and say, well, he's just, you know, he can't help himself when it comes to, you know, attacking with his, you know, right, you know, Karen, you know, on a Tuesday afternoon after it's been raining, you know. Like, how specific do you get? But the point is that vis-a-vis that, he's a mazik. But not a mazik intrinsically, but this guy's a mazik intrinsically. Now, it's the same Karen in the end of the day, right? But we're tweaking, you know, what qualifies or how it qualifies in that respect. I prefer that without separate makoros. Again, if you think that kiyigach and kiyigof are different makoros and different mitzvos, again, we already noted that Rabbi Yochanan from Sopurlo, you know, understood in Sefer Mitzvot from Sajigon, there's a difference between nezek and misa. That I certainly think makes sense. But, you know, in theory, we could have said there's more than one. You know, there's a graduating, you know, Karen, and there's a mitchila Karen, as we said. Or, for example, this is the question that we're asking, you know, on Tam, right? So Tam, this Chatzi Nezek, that's certainly a kula, or whatever way you look at it, right? And but it still also has a chumra, namely your chai brishus harabin, right? So you could say that Karen Tam, Karen Muad, you know, they share that in common. And they, of course, they share in common that it can be the same animal usually who graduates, you know, especially according to the Balik Tosis, who may think that everybody needs to graduate, you know, but even according to the Rambam, let's say, right? But in the end of the day, you know, how different are Tam and Muad? So, for example, there's a line in the Rajba where the Rajba talks about boar, which we're getting to, boar tes and boar yud, a killer boar and a mazik boar. Right, that's our you know, upcoming, one of our upcoming topics. Hopefully we'll start that a little bit on Tuesday. So are those two avos? Right? Are they the same, just, you know, two different applications of it? So the Rajba has a line where he, you know, compares it to, anybody have a line? Anybody seen it already? To Karen Tam and Karen Mua. So it's all there, like, you have it, Shua?
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, unless he doesn't mean it, it's always hard to tell. Meaning, if what he doesn't mean abifneatzmo the way that we think he means it, you know, what he means to say is more that, like, you know, these are, you know, two different hechitimtzis within the av, but it's not a tolda. Is his point that it's not a tolda when you say something is, you know, two different avos, as opposed to an av and a tolda, right? It can have two opposite meanings. Let's assume for the moment, let's take him at his word. We'll discuss this with the board, meaning that there are two kind of different mechayvim. Instead of saying just, you know, it's an av, but there are just, you know, there's the moderate form and the extreme form, but they're applications of the same thing. Right? Let's assume for a moment he really means it. There's a killer boar and there's a mazik boar. Right, and they're different. They're different chalos boars. That's what we're going to discuss. Are they maybe even different mechayvim? Maybe. Right? Or whatever makes boars mechayiv may be responsible for them being different chalos boars. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about. But the comparison to Karen Tam and Karen Muad is very intriguing. Because Bepashtus, you don't have to say that those are two different avos. Like, would there be a havamina to count them separately in minyan and mitzvos? Like Reb Sajagon, you know, is counting, you know, a killer Karen, you know, and a damaging Karen? In boar, would you count them separately? Maybe. Is that what the Rajba is really saying? Either way, it's an important line. So one way to say it is, yeah. For example, in our bigger question, we're going to sum up some other Lashonos in just a minute. So then you might say, like, oh, you know, again, it's not just how much you pay, you know, the mechayvim are different. You know, and maybe even the hagdaros are different. Maybe one way out of, I mentioned this already in the past, right? One way out of the dilemma with the different gemaras, and so on and so forth, is to distinguish between, you know, Tam and Muad. Right? Mishuna drives Karen Tam, any Mishuna, and Kavanos Alahazik, you know, applies, you know, to Karen Muad or Muad Mitchila if it exists. Okay? One is a Kula, one is a Chumra. Again, it leaves you with a little bit of a question, and that is, well, what about Rishus HaRabin? Okay, so it's not Derech, maybe Derech, you know, whether it's Matsui or Derech Hezeko or, you know, the Matsui-ness or the Urche-ness, we'll call it, of Hana L'Sheino. Maybe those are all things, you know, that are connected to the Ptur Rishus HaRabin, either as a Gzeres HaKasuv or as a Svara. And we'll get back to the point that you raised before, like, you know, the Rosh's formulation, the Rif's formulation, the Rambam's formulation, you know, etc. But in the end of the day, that line of the Rajba is very, very suggestive. So, for example, the Rambam, that's possible too. Maybe Mishuna, you know, or for others, is all about Tam. Right, and Kavana Lehezeko is all about Muad. But I don't, my instinct is that really what's going on in the Rambam. So that would be a way of... okay, just to sum up, what I'm trying to say is that for the Rambam, at least, there seem to be four scenarios that we can consider of Keren. Two on the Tam level, two on the Muad level. Right? The two on the Tam level is, you know, classic Keren Tam, you know, Negicha, Negifa, etc., etc. Then in addition to that, you have Keren Tam cases that seem to start off or at least possibly, you know, start off as either Shein or Regel, right? But, you know, because they're Mishuna, you'll get pushed into the Keren world. Okay? The Kelev, the Ochla, Shunra, right? Or maybe certain cases of Regel where you're Mazig Derech Hilucho, but it's Mishuna. Things of that sort. Right? So again, aside from the question that we've dealt with extensively, that's really, really subtle and hard to pick up on, namely what happens if you have, you know, to what extent does Karen's, part of Karen's definition is that it's not Shein and Regel, and to what extent is part of Shein and Regel's definition that it's not Karen, right, in terms of its characteristics, and what happens if you have both at the same time, and what's the default, and so on. These are the questions that we've dealt with. By the way, I should just add, the... on Beis Amid Beis, which is where you have the defaults questions on the Rashis and the Talmud of Rajba and Rosh and so on, there's also just a good line in the Tosa Rush where it at least raises the question. The Tosa Rush on Shita Wabetza 7, column 2, but it's in the Tosa Rush, says, you know, why didn't the Gemara say that that the reason that Shein has no Kavan al-Hazik, and that's why Neshicha is Karen. Neshicha's Karen, the Gemara says Neshicha's Karen because Shein needs, you know, Hanoa Lazeka, right? But so the Tosor says, why did the Gemara say Neshicha's Karen? Because it's Kavanas al-Hazik. Right? That's exactly what we were talking about. And that's, then he gives an answer. His answer is, oh, you know, they took the Chumrah of Hanoa of Shein. He doesn't really explain it. You know, the Chumrah of Shein is lacking. But why not say that the Chomer of Karen is there? Just highlighting what we were talking about. And other Rashis and other Sugyas, you know, have the opposite implication. But that aside. So the point is that there are two types of Tams, essentially. Right? The Gicha is pure Karen Tam. Right? And let's say, you know, maybe Shein and Be'ita and, you know, you could talk about that, but either way, you know, the other cases are, so does that matter or not? Are those two different dinim of Karen or not? Again, if you can find Afkamina, amazing. If you wanted to count them separately, my suspicion is that they're not. It all has to do with Karen itself being that kind of Hagdar and Frank. Then you have two types, according to the Rambam, you have two types of Karen Muad, right? And that is, one is through the process of Hadah, but then it's applied in a more limited way because there is a recognition that even after Hadah, it doesn't turn into an Ari and a Nakash and a Bardalas, you know, and a Dove. and there, you know, how does that work? So there could be four cases of Karen in the Rambam. That's all I'm pointing out. Because there are Karens in Perek Gimel and there are Karens in Perek Beis. You know, and there are Karens, of course, in Perek Aleph. And there's, you know, Perek Aleph Halacha, you know, what is it, Vav. And then there's, you know, the whole Prakib later in the Rambam, which are dedicated to the category, the transformation from Tam to Muad through Hadah. My own instinct is, even the Tam to Muad, I guess the Tam to Muad is the most obvious, that there would be like two Avos, like that Rajba's line. And even then, I'm not sure. I don't think it comes out that way in the Rambam. Okay? But, yeah, there's a question. Yeah.
I'm assuming it was shown in a specific word of relationship, but is there anything the Rambam was being yachis to, let's say, the Beis Yosef, there was a Rambam, whether Ado is establishing a pattern of behavior to make it an aggressive short, or Rebbe saying that it's just a formal process that is a
no, it still
question.
Could be. It does. It's very possible that I think there has to be some element. It's not exeris akasu, you know, that is completely. I think the question is it only, and then it's behavioral. In other words, is what's happening with the Hadaa process, you know, pure animal psychology, you know, of this animal's, you know, transformation. Like this animal looks like a sheep, but it's a, you know, it's a lion, you know, it's a bear. Or, you know, there always is a recognition. As long as you say there's always a recognition of where it came from. You know, and something, you know, that implies A, it could revert back, or B, even when it's there, it doesn't have, you know, the same, according to the Rambam at least, the full characteristics. I mean, we do care about the. It's a. This sheep is a lion, you know, vis-a-vis, you know, lion attack modes, or it's right Karen, you know, but that's what I'm saying.
Could you say for the Rambam that, for example, the Udim Mitchila, Mur Mitchila is the inherent shame nonsense.
Yeah.
Mur is it the Ude Gavra, you should be watching your show better. And it's not necessarily establishing a pattern of behavior as a shame mazik, but just as a Shia of the Baal.
Could be.
A very large distinction.
I suspect that, you know, but then it's a very different kind of halacha. Okay. I suspect that there also has to be, that goes to the question of how many carrots are there. Like, if you want to say that, you could say that. I think you could say it even, you know, it starts a pattern to the Maisa Hezek, but not to the Shame Behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could say what you just said now, and that maybe depends on, not necessarily, the Sugya of, it's very suggestive, of course, the Yudei Gavra, the Yudei Tura, you know, that it's all a din in the Bailim, and how they relate to this animal. The animal's the same. Nothing happened to the animal. It's all din in Shmira, or tziruf to the hezek, no, etc. I think it's all possible. I just think in the Rambam itself, you know, it's more likely that it's one halacha with these tweaks. But I think for others, certainly, that these are possible. Okay. So again, I'm sorry we're taking so much time with this, but I think it's a very, very, very critical issue. Yeah.
So just to clarify, is Rebbe working backwards from the four appearances of Karen and the Rambam to conclude that? I think Mashiach came by all the other Shane and Regal, let's say, meaning that it's saying, well, since we have four cases that struggle to find necessarily a very strong commonality, that would lead us to assume that there are multiple Karens? Or is there...
I don't think there are multiple Karens in the realm. I'm saying I think it's a question.
The only reason we're talking about it.
What?
Is the only reason we're talking about it because of the fact that there just doesn't seem to be that much linking, I don't know, Tem, Karen Tom, which is Mishunet, so you look into Glossom?
I say, ask a question again. I'm not following the question.
I'm just struggling. What's the? I guess I'm asking for clarification. Where would one see multiple parents in the Rambam?
Well, the Rambam himself deals with some of these cases in different places. For example, we talked about the fact that the Rambam deals with, you know, maybe the one of the most classic cases, you know, in the Gemara of Palga Nizka Knossa, right, is Tezva Mudbeis, you know, Kalbadach LaShunra, right? It's a, you know, it's a drum roll in the Gemara, right, for Palga Nizka Knossa. And the Rambam puts it in Perik, as we discussed the other day, in Perigimel Halacha Zayin, you know, in a ratio, which is shame. That's strange, right? And there are other examples of that, you know, as well. He has the regular din of Mishuna in Karen and the cases, you know, that are purest, you know, Tam cases, not a case which looks like shame but then becomes, you know, Karen in Perek Aleph, you know, of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. Then he has, you know, Prakim dedicated to the process of Hadaa and undoing Hadaa, and he certainly also makes reference to it in Perek Aleph, right? But side by side with that, he, unlike many other Rishonim, thinks that Ari and Dov and Bardalus, etc., are also Karen, because remember, Bali Tosos think it's Shane and Regal, sort of the Rajba, sort of most Rishonim, right? So he thinks, and then that he has in Perek Aleph too. In addition to which, he makes perfectly clear, this is the Graz Ha'ara, but again, it's in the Rambam, And that is that he makes it perfectly clear that how the animal attacks is irrelevant in the case of the Muad Mitchila, even though he makes it also perfectly clear in that same parak, right, in the previous halacha, that, or the next halacha, that when it comes to the process of Hadah, right, that we do care about the particular mode of attack. So right there, I'm already demonstrating, based on placement and actual nafkamina, that the Rambam has two different Keren Tams, and he has two different Keren Muads. Correct? Now, I'm trying to explain that, and I'm also trying to explain at the same time what I've been trying to get at before, and that is, like, why did the Rambam present it? The Rambam is like the master classifier. He really knows how to make distinctions and to keep categories. Right? He creates categories when no one else creates categories. So the Gemara has these categories. They're you know, lo rei this and lo rei that and lo rei the next thing. You know, and there's Keren and Shane and Regel. Right? And the Rambam is like all over the map with them. You know, from the very beginning of Perek Aleph, as we've discussed. Right? He doesn't mention Keren until Halacha Yud. He doesn't mention Keren and Perek Beis, you know, as being the only basis for Tam and Chatzi Nezek until after, like, he raises the possibility, like, it should apply. Oh, by the way, it doesn't. Right? His source of this is what we talked about last time. His source of the Ptur, you know, Rishus HaMazik, you know, is taken, for Keren, is taken from Shane Varego. His discussion of the classic, you know, Palganiska Knossa case, right? Palganiska Knossa is discussed in Perek Beis in the context of Regel, after Tsroros, right? And the classic case of Kelev de Achol Shunra is in Perek Gimel, as I say, in Halacha, that is shared with Shane. Not the only one, because Isaac Sahara is correct about Achila, you know, Bedochek. So what I'm trying to say is, all this in the Rambam seems to be about and the Rambam says that Shor is all free, even though the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rav about Maveh, right? And actually took out a Mamazik way out of everything. So what I'm saying is the overall impression in the Rambam then is that there is a kind of very central role for Keren, and that despite the fact that this being all over the place and there being four different, you know, examples of it, I'm suggesting is consistent with that. Clear?
Yeah, so just to clarify.
You could, yeah, go ahead.
It's on the one hand the decentralization, mm-hmm. the fact that these places come up in places you don't necessarily expect, and then there are also specific nafkamina within Karen.
I mean, there are some actual nafkamina, like between Hadaa and Mahuba. Are there nafkamina between the two Tams? Maybe the circumstances that make them Tam. Like, what do you need? You know, also not Kavanas al-Hazik, or, you know, only Mishuna? I mean, there could be that too. Right, but in answer to Shua's, like, question, which is, like, you know, how many Karens are there? And I'm giving the example of the Rajba to show that in Bor, maybe there are two Avos. We already know in Rav Sajagon that there are two Karens, right, but that's Misa and Nezek. That also may be the case in Bor, right? The Rajba is actually equating, you know, the two Bors with two Karens, just the Tam and the Muad one, right? I'm saying that also might be a way to explain Mishuna versus Kavanas al-Hazik. Okay, so that's kind of where we are, and again, I'm sorry it's taking so long, but that's kind of where we are in the bigger picture of things. So that, I think, is what happens for the Rambam. We okay on that for now? Good. Regarding other Rishonim, as we said, it's hard to know what to say because you have this heavy emphasis in the beginning of the Masechta. Here and there, references to Kavanas al-Hazik. And then, like, Mishuna is, like, taking over. So what I was saying the other day is that for Rabbeinu Tam, a possibility would be maybe to distinguish between Palganiska, Mamona, Palganiska, Kanasa. Right? Because Palganiska, at least on the Tam aspect of things, would you say that also on the Muad aspect? You know, hard to know. Again, Tosas on Tazayin Omed Aleph thinks that, you know, the Urches are not Karen. Because they're Shein Beregel or because they're not Karen by definition, hard to know. But either way, Tezvav Mudbeis, Tosa says, and Shua's Ha'ara is a good Ha'ara. I mean, he does say, you know, he does mention Kavanos al-Hazik there, but he mentions it to ignore it, you know. So I'm just saying one could say that, you know, if you hold Palganiska Mamona, especially if you hold like a Rebbeinu Tam, that there's no Din Mishuna at all, which is disputed by some other Rishonim, right? But if you do hold that way, then you could say that for Papa or Palganiska Mamona is, you know, Kavanos al-Hazik, not just on the Muad side of it, but on the Tam side of it. Mitzchila v'yatzof. And it's easy to say, I don't know if Achronim say this, but the whole Shaklev Tar in the beginning could be Rapapa. And for a Rebbeinu Tam, it certainly could be Rapapa, because Karen v'Chuberis and all that can't be Palganiska Knasa, right? So then you get a tremendous bifurcation between, you know, it's not just, oh, what is the status of Palganiska, Mamona, or Knasa? It's what is the, you know, it's an argument of the soul of Karen. What is Karen really about? Karen is Kavanos al-Hazik or Karen is Meshuna? Be'afal b'chein, I don't think you have to go that far because, you know, again, the Gilyon and Rabbeinu Yeshaya and others think that even Palganiska Mamona works with Meshuna or some level of Meshuna. Just have to pin that down a little more. And it's also possible that even if you hold Palganiska Knasa, that there's an element of Kavanos al-Hazik that Tosus alludes to on Tezvav Mudbeis. He just alludes to it and says it's not enough. Right? It's not going to be Koveya. There's no Kavanos al-Hazik in the case of those Mishuna, and it's still Palga, Nizka, you know, Knasa. So, it's an issue. Okay. So, in the Gemara itself, it's hard to know what's going on. One of the ways to get out of the Gemara is what I just said. Another way is to say, again, Havamina's Matskana's like Rabbi Zalman suggested. Hi, what do you do with Kishkush ba Masa, and what do you do with Kofar? So I was suggesting, Nafka for the Rambam, who puts Kishkush ba Masa and Biznava together, then maybe that's also part of the Safek, right? Let me add a Ha'ara also that Josh brought to my attention, which I don't think is Mukhrak, but I do think is good. And that is that, in light of everything that we said, the fact that the Rambam ends Perak Aleph, Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, right, on a Safek, you know, what's the line that differentiates Regel and Karen, you know, is very fitting. Again, it could just be, you know, we're dealing with Karen and the end of that Perak. And there's a suffix about a certain case, two cases, whether they fit or not. End of story. There's no problem in the Rambam. Okay, but the idea that, you know, there is this fluidity and that's part of the story of Shor and Karen and Shane and Regel, right? And then we're finishing the Perek, you know, with a case which is kind of a Abaye de lo Ifshita, what it is even. Part of that Abaye de lo Ifshita may be, you know, not just figure out the threshold of Shane and Regel and Karen, but, you know, again, this question of the relationship between them. So I think that's a Ha'ara. So one way to look at the evidence in the Gemara is to say what Rabbi Zalman said. I'm just adding the proviso that we don't say it about Shane, and we don't say it about Regel, and we don't say it about Bor. And no one is saying in the end that, you know, those factors should not be quoted or should not be koveya with regard to these demons. Certainly not the Hilchose, with regard to the Hilchose. Okay? That's one. The other possibility is that one of the reasons that Kavanos al-Hazik partially disappears is because of the idea that we just developed, which is that there's a Karen that's a Karen, and then there's a Karen, you know, that works, you know, to transmute Shane and Regel into Karen. Right? And that is usually not on the basis of Kavanos al-Hazik. That's on the basis of Mishuna. Again, Mishuna because Karen, you know, together with Shane and Regel is Karen, or because Shane and Regel, you know, in addition to what they are, there's something that they can't abide, and that's being Mishuna. And then the question is, can they abide Kavanos al-Hazik? Right? A parallel question. Okay. Either way, these are some of the different formulations. Another way to navigate the evidence, again, in addition to the one of, you know, it's gone because we, it was only there when there was only going to be Karen, or in a Safek, or Palganiska, Moda Palganiska Knasa, or what I'm saying now, the difference between pure Karen and Shein Beregel turning into Karen, is the possibility that Kavanasa Lahazik and Mishuna themselves, and instead of being two different factors or competing factors, are really a common denominator. I think that's also something that we need to consider. Again, the Meiri's formulation, as we noted, was, you know, Kavanasa Lahazik Bederech Mishuna. Okay, that's not a common denominator, but it's also not two factors. Okay. But what we do have, who brought this to my attention? I had it on my list anyway, but Moshe, right? The Tosas on Yud Zayin? And Tosas on Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, has a very interesting formulation. Moshe, namely?
Do you want to know why the Gemara needed the Kamashua?
Yeah. Endorsa ala Kli, right?
Yeah.
The bottom Tosas on Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, again, right in the beginning of the second paragraph. You have a line, just read it. Omer read, the Itzrich Lashminan. Yeah, so that's just an interesting formulation, because that is basically saying that Mishuna isn't just Mishuna, Mishuna is Kavanasa Lahazik. So in the sense that it's not, you know, like a nezek demimela in a natural derechi lucho or hana oso, like, you know, this is mazik. Again, you can think Mishuna is dafka not mazik and it's mimela, or you could think that Mishuna is always mazik. Like, why is he doing that? Like lurking, you know, it's definitely not, oh, regular life with, you know, the goat in Rosh Hashanah or life with the goat, you know, things happen, mimela. Like it's Mishuna, right? So number one, it's Mishuna, so it's Mazik. Or maybe, you know, why did he do that? You know, it's Mazik. So that is an interesting point. The Rav once suggested the opposite. That is that Kavanasa Lahazik is Mishuna. That's like a very liberal, you know, I would say humanistic, but I think, you know, they have to have like a parallel world, just like, you know, we're having trouble saying Gavra Behema. I'm not sure how you say humanistic, or I will say optimistic approach, you know, to the animal kingdom. I don't know if he really meant it, but meaning that every Kavanasa Lahazik is a kind of Mishuna. If Mishuna and Kavanasa Lahazik are, you know, are one is the other, or they're both something in common, you know, that also would explain a lot of Gemaras, because Mishuna just takes over the Masechta.
Yeah. Similar to the Rosh, no? I mean, the Rosh and Kishkam is known as when he does the line of, if he doesn't, Lamatazah Gavarzeh, it's not going to sell the
Hajj. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So that, I was going to quote that. That's the Rosh on Yud Tesef Beis, has that line. So that also is something to think about. Yeah.
Isn't it possible for us not that they're one and the same, but
that's. I thought he's saying that it's so Mishuna that it's got to be Kavanasa Lahazik. Also?
In a way that you're just saying it is Mishuna because it did this, and then also it's going to be carried because it's done.
But it's because of its being Mishuna. He didn't say that? Oh, I see. I didn't read it that way. I should also add that Moshe brought to my attention correctly that Tosfos Ben Peretz has the Mishuna part. Right? But he doesn't turn it into Kavanasa Lahazik. Yeah? Is that right?
Yeah.
You have the line there? Right. I mean, again, I hear how you're reading it. I didn't read it that way. I can't take a Shua D'Oraisa, but you're saying, A, it's Mishuna, B, it's Mistama, it's Kavanasa Lahazik. I don't think he means that.
This form of Mishuna, of like Darsa, Kokaf, Jose, that one also is
like what motivated this guy to. He's an angry animal. He's Kavanasa Lahazik. So he's like venting his violent tendencies. I can't know for sure. It could be. I understood it that it's. Oh, I also understood this one. That's why I had. Yeah.
It sounds like a testimonial base that he's saying that Kikler and Tosos is not Shabbat Tosos itself, that Tosos would simply, despite all the Gemara, that Tosos would say that Pagnis Mamona, Karen is not Mishuna at all.
Right. I think.
But so how does, I don't know.
I mean, how do you navigate other evidence?
Yeah.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Gilyon Tosos is Shabbat. I don't think so. Okay, we'll still talk about the Shonis there because I think there's still a difference between Rabbi Yishai and the Gilyon, which I want to get to. But, okay. So these are some of the other formulations. Again, keep your eye open for them as we go through the Masechta. Yeah, okay, just a couple of quick other formulations here, just quickly before we move on. Okay. So I mentioned the Rabbeinu Chananel, on the other hand, on Beis Amud Beis, seems to say that Karen requires both. That's how you want to read Tosis, I guess, on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph as well, right? Mishunah. This doesn't work with some of the other Tosis, but I hear. The language of Rabbeinu Chananel is that you need both. You need Kavanos al Hazik and Mishunah. The Meiri we talked about, Kabbalah al-Hazik b'derech Mishunah. Tosas Yud Zayin Amud Aleph we talked about, and the Rebbeinu Peretz. Tosas Tez Zayin Amud Aleph. As we discussed, Matsui is Regel, even if it is Kabbalah al-Hazik. That's an example in Tosas where Kabbalah al-Hazik doesn't make it, despite being Kabbalah al-Hazik, it's not Karen. And Tez Bavim Beis is a case of Mishunah, which is Karen, even though there's no Kavanos al-Hazik. Again, so you just have to know, what Tosis means by that. Okay. Now I want to talk just 1 minute about Tosis on Gibel Amud Beis and look at this. What's the problem with Tosis Aryeh? Gibel Amud Beis? Tosis Gibel Amud Beis? We've talked about it before, but just very quickly. On top. I'm sorry. Okay. There are two toasts in it. We'll talk about the other one in a second. What? Yeah, Vanos Akino Maso. What's the issue there? Yeah, so then, get to another great example. Just
yeah, you
if Karen, if you learn it out, Mishor Lamadnu, and Karen means, and Shor means Karen, right, even though it's lacking two things. Number one, there's no transition from Tamos to Muados, right? The Lochai, the Shaik, the Chalik, the Balechai. So that itself is interesting. In light, we've talked about it, but I just want to mention it again. We were suggesting that one of the reasons why Tosas on Tezayin Amud Aleph doesn't like the Rambam, right? And maybe one of the reasons why on Beis Amud Beis, in Karen Mechuberes, he doesn't like Rashi and the Rach and Rabbeinu Yeshaya, right? Namely, that Karen Mechuberes would be Muad Mitchila. One of the reasons that that is the case, oh, by the way, I should add, if one day in Shita Mechuberes is that Karen Muedes Mitchila and Karen that requires Hada'ah to become a Muad are two different psukim. Right, was that whose shita was that? The Riva? One day in the Riva, right? So remember that. We're talking about the possibility. The Rajba has Tam and Muad, but actually that was a day, at least as the Havamina of the Gemara based on the base, that Karen Mechuberes would have been a separate Av alongside. There would be Karen Klusha and Karen Mechuberes. That's similar to what I'm asking in the Rambam, I guess. Okay, that aside. Anyways, so the Gemara here, so we said that one of the reasons on Tezayin and Aleph, maybe, and based on the base, why Tosas doesn't like those alternative pshatim, the Rambam and Rashi, is because Tosas thinks that the process of turning a tam into a muad is part of the hagdara, right, of Karen. That alone, by the way, is the opposite of saying that there are two dinim, right? Two avos. There's a tam and there's a mu'ah. Right? Presumably. Oh. So it's interesting that Tosus is willing to drop that requirement, right? Ein l'chalek bein tamus l'mu'adis lo shayach l'chalek ela b'balei chayim. Now, that transition is part of the hagdara of what Karen is, right? A Karen Muad can't be a Karen Muad unless he, you know, has lost his innocence, you know, has been established through a pattern, etc., has been given the shame Muad. That's only true, right, where there's that potential. It's not ma'akev per se, because that's not so obvious. If you think that the hagdara of Muad is its transition from Tam, so, you know, why should it necessarily beat some? Okay, but what's fascinating is that even though, you know, Tosus, you know, is shalem, again, and the Rishonim who think that this is not true, by the way, men who think that what the Gemara means or what it says, Mishora Lamadnu, is some sort of a Bameh Hatzad, they're not committed to the view that, you know, the transition of Tam and Muad isn't a requirement, you know, outside of the Balei Chayim. So that's important. But the other element is that Vim Tomar, right, Hechi Gomar Mishor, Malashor Shekain Balechayim, Vikavanasa Lahazik. And then you have the Rajba. Right, so the requirement is Karen really have to be a Balchai, per se, right? And Kavanasa Lahazik. All of a sudden, Tosus became the advocate of Kavanasa Lahazik here on Gimel Amud Beis. So again, is this Rav Papa? Or is this because Mishuna is always an implicit Kavanasa Lahazik? Like, what is this? It's interesting. And again, why Dafka Balchai? But again, if the shame Mazik, let's say, is what makes Karen a Karen, then the idea that it might have to be a Balchai, you know, and that you require Kavanos Alahazik of some sort, or potential of Kavanos Alahazik. So you think about it. At the same time, you know, to answer the question, the truth is that when you have an animal that's, you know, Lahanaso, or Matsui, or Derechilucho, you know, it's easy to say that it's mafsid, but not mazik. You know, but avana sakino maso, you know, is a mazik. So it's not an independent mazik like an animal. But maybe that doesn't require. One of the things I was saying in the Rambam was that he turned, not exactly like the Rav, not exactly like, certainly not like Rav Yisrael Meltzer, was that, you know, Kavanos al-Mahazik just means, you know, being a mazik. So on the one hand, that might be reason to require Balchai and somebody that can have Kavanos al-Mahazik, but maybe Avonos Akino Maso is not. It's not like it's this innocent thing. You put a Avonos Akino Maso, you know, in a place that it can be that it can damage. It's a mazik. Yeah.
This problem with this isn't bringing completely back Kavanos al-Mahazik and is the continuation of the Tosos, the Ibihim Tomar is assuming a Muad. I mean, Ibihim Tomar can't take Amar Mishor, meaning you must be learning after Mishor Muad, because you're going to be Chayim as like Shali, Malashar Shkin, God is Chayim Kavanos El Hazik, and he'd only be equating Kavanos El Hazik to Muad, not necessarily to Ibihim Tam.
Say that one more time?
Is it possible that Tosos in the second stage is only mentioning Kavanos El Hazik relative to Muad, as opposed to also Tam, which might help us a bit with the pop-up problem?
Well, there's no Tamus. Well, we've already established that there's no Tamos here.
Yeah, but
so all it is Muad. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that, once there's no Tamos, so then, and all there is Muad, then there always has to be Kavanos Alahad. Yeah. Oh, that'd be another way to say it. Now, just like we said before, this would reaffirm what we said before. That one other way, even within the Rambam that's possible, or within the Gemaras, is that we're mechalik between Karen Tam and Karen Mu.
And maybe even for Tosos, this would help solve, like, why is
he... So you're saying, oh, we don't have Tam, but you can't have Muad without Kavanos Alahazik.
Yeah.
I hear it. Okay, very good. I didn't think of that. But I like it. Very possible. Okay, so just to be aware of that either way. Okay, finally, as we noted on the bottom of the page, right, when the Gemara has these Havaminas of the relationship between, you know, Hanal Hazeko and Kavanasa Lahazik, just a couple of words about that. So as we say, Tosas turned everything into a Shmira issue, a Pshia issue, actually. Correct? Lekula and Lechomra. The Havamin is a Kula. You know, it's more difficult to be Shomer, and therefore you're less of a Poshea. And the Maskana is the opposite. Right? You're more of a Poshea because you know what you're dealing with, and you know your challenge is greater, and therefore the excuse to ignore it is less acceptable. Fine. Good. That's how Tosas interpreted it. But it's, as I mentioned the other day, the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam does not see it that way. Instead sees Kavanasa Lahazik as being antithetical, right, to both Matsui and Kavanasa, and I'm sorry, and Hana. Right? He just thinks that these are two different, it sounds like he's suggesting different chaybin. So this is interesting in particular for the following reason. Natan brought to my attention that there's a bit of a strange marach or zeruah, the one before the one that we spoke of on Beis on Beis, right? You have language again? In which he suggests that the Havamina would have been...
Yes, it says, in Eret Omer, the Havamina demarri the Karen Yesh Hanal Lazeka, Yom Mechazer, still come on the Kiyot Zikah, Alal Dinin Hanal Lazeka, Ki Yin Kavanas Lahazik, the Potter.
Yeah. So this idea that you would need both is exactly the opposite of the perspective of Talmud or Rabbeinu Tam. And that's an interesting question too. What does Kavanasa Lahazik mean? It's Kavanasa Lahazik and Kavanasa Lahana or Nene, are these mutually exclusive ideas? Or because again it goes to something else that we spoke about, and that is the more you're interested in just isolating the animal from the bilim and making this the mice of the shore, so actually kavana lahazik or hana each does that, but in a different way, maybe in competing ways, but in they share that in common. If you're talking about whether something is a mazik or mice a hezek as opposed to something that happened mimela and therefore isn't so much a hezek, it would seem to be different or opposite. Certainly if you're talking about, you know, Kavanasa Lahazik as a category, so Hena Lahazeka takes away from Kavanasa Lahazik. But it's fascinating that the Marach or Zeruah, right, thought that, you know, you might, that the highest standard for Mazik would be what happens if you have both. Again, part of the story on Beis Amid Beis is the idea that, you know, maybe Karen can't abide, you know, Hena. So that is an interesting perspective. And Natan also brought to my attention at least the line in the Shita B'Kubetzes on Dalet Amud Aleph, page 12, column 1 through 2, that in the discussion with the Rimigash, that Shoel in the Rimigash, I think it is the same Tshuva. So he, you know, was very bothered again, how could the Gemara flip from thinking that Hanala Hazeka and Kavanasa Lahazik were kulas, and then they decided they were chumras. So he just asked the Rimigash, like, how could you have a Gemara that flips in that way? Basically, the Rimigash says, you know, it flips, right? The answer isn't so much the chiddush isn't in the here in the answer of the Rimigash. It's in the question of the shoel. But part of his question, you know, he zeroes in on the impact, you know, of Hana in a very interesting way. You have the line? If not, I have it. It's page 12, I think. Oh, so that's just a good line. Meaning, and again, that's like the Talmud or Ben Tam that I was saying, that's looking at Kavanasa Lahazik and Hana Lahazeko in a way as opposites. Right? This is a belligerent aggressive action. No, it's a utilitarian, you know, action. And that's a terrific line, that the nezek is mimela ka'asi. It isn't even mazik motivated by utilitarian gain, right? It's not, that's not mazik, right? That's, you know, there's a nezek or there's a hefset, right? But it's a mimela kaasi. It's exactly one of the things that we were looking for. At the same time, when he tries to explain the other side of the Gemara, again, still on the kula side, like why would it be that, you know, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so that's also just a terrific line. So again, one of the things that I mentioned that we need to look at, even the halacha, is regarding Shane. You know, we spent some time trying to figure out, you know, again, what's the hagdara of hana in Shane, right? And whether it's just a din in quasi matsui or in kavana lahazik, you know, or mimela like we're saying now, etc. Or do you really need the kind of hana, you know, that you need in other areas of halacha, like to be mechayiv in what we call mishtarshi, you know, mamoni gabach, you know, that kind of an idea. But the halacha, we need to look at the fact that, for example, in Mushas Arabim or in other cases of Ptur Shein, you're still chayiv l'shalei mashanen, it's just not mashayizika. And one of the things we need to look at is whether or not that tashlumin is betoras hezek or totally independent. It's just a din in mamoni gabach. You know, it's a separate din, nothing to do with nezek one way or another. If it is a din in mazik, right, that means that, like, there is Shein b'rishus harabin, basically. There's no regel b'rishus harabin, but there is some Shein b'rishus harabin. And it has, you know, a more enormous impact on understanding, again, what Shein is all about. So it's interesting that, you know, he thought, in the Havamin of the Gemara at least, that what's significant about Shein as a chumra is that the mechayiv is ma'oni gabach. What he doesn't address is, let's say there's a difference between the value of the nezek and the value of the hana, right? Sometimes the hana is greater than the nezek. Sometimes the hana, more often, the hana is less than the nezek, right? So if really the mechayiv is mamoni gabach, that would be an important nafkamina. But one of the things that emerges, again, it's an explanation of the Havamin of the Gemara, right? Or, well, actually, this could be even the Maskan of the Gemara, that this line. But we're not so sure how seriously to take it. But it's the idea that Mamoni Gabach is a din mazik, not just an independent mechayev of Hana. Correct? Okay. So that brings us... Okay, there's one other thing to talk about. Two other things to talk about, just very quickly, that I'll mention now, and we'll talk more about them later. Regarding the question of Mishuna B'Shein, two other issues. One is the Gemara later on Mem Ches Amud Beis, and the Rashi and Tosis and other Rishonim there, right? Chazya Yeruka, where the animal, you know, is drawn to the, you know, to the edge of the boar by Hana, that's Shein. And the question is, you know, whether this is also an element of Kofar and Kavanasa Lahazik. Right, so that I still want to speak about. We'll see. Either I'll speak about it, you know, Tuesday, just very quickly, or we'll hold off and integrate it into one of our other topics. But that's sugya of Rashi, Tosis, and so on. Chazi Ruka and Mechasim. That's one. The other one that I wanted to mention is the debate between the Rishonim on, again, one of the landmark cases, right? Kelev va'achla shunra. So in Kelev Achla Shunra, the Pashtus of the Gemara, the Rosh doesn't agree, is that it's Karen completely. Correct? It's Mishuna, it's Karen, and therefore you are going to be Chai B'Rishus HaRabim completely. Correct? However, the Rosh in that Sugya, I'm sorry, in the beginning of the second Parak Beis, Simon Beis, the Rosh is of the opinion that Kelev Achla Shunra that is treated like Karen, I'm sorry, Karen, that's a question. Kelev the Achla Shunra, a Shein that turns into a Karen, is only Karen vis-a-vis the non Shein part. That's the pachas nevela. Right? But the hanoa part is treated as shame. And the Talmud of Rashba, probably Rashi holds different things, pashtas. Talmud of Rashba, Rashba explicitly rejects this rush. Right? That shows Talmud of Rashba, Rashba are equal opportunity, you know, independent, you know, thinkers. They can rebel against the Rashba and they can rebel against the rush. So they disagree. I think partly Lashitas someone base him at base. You know, about, you know, what happens when Karen overlaps with, you know, Shane and Ragel. The Amsa Shlomo has a very big piece where he strongly takes issue with this rush, and in the Poskim Shulchan Aruch it's a big, big discussion. So again, what that issue is all about is open to question, but it's, number one, it's a huge limitation on one of the landmark cases, but it's not just a landmark case, it's a case that tests, right, it's Mishuna, you know, for Shane, and whether the background, the framework of Mishuna, right, infects or affects, you know, even the Shane, I mean, the Mashanene part of it or not. So there could be some technical questions about whether or not there are two things happening here at the same time, but two different issues completely. One is the murder of the animal, right, which is Mishuna, and in which there's no Ana. And then there's, in addition to that, there's, like, you know, lunch. The animal's eating. He's Nana, right? He's eating the Nevela. So the Pachas Nevela, per se, is one. There are two different dinim here. But maybe Gufa, whether you look at it that way, or if that's not what's going on. So then the question, again, is one of these kind of interesting questions, the fluidity between Karen and Shane. Right? The Rajba and others typically say, no, this case proves, you know, that Mishuna, even with Hana, is Tam. Right? So it sounds in Rambam too, even though it's in Perikim HaHalacha Zayin. So this again is a very important an important limitation in a very critical case, but not just a critical case, but a case which stands on the border between Karen and Shane and Regel. Maybe that's part of what the question really is. Okay, I'm sorry it's late. So I want to pick up just a couple more words about some of these cases, but mostly we're done with this for now. We'll build up more on Karen, Shane, and Regel as we go on. Just a couple more minutes, I want to speak about Rabbeinu Yishai and the Gilyon a little bit, and Kishkisha. But on, Tuesday, I want to speak about Amma Eved Isha, Dalar Abed Aleph, right? And then Bor. I still want to get back to Shana Regal Shusar Amma. I'm going to hold off on that a little bit for now, because it'll help some other things. Okay? So we're...